coming back to being alone with one's own experience. Even in the midst of the crowd, the sounds. In the end, we're always left with ourselves, our thoughts, our feelings, our memories, our perceptions, our restlessness, our agitation, our enjoyment, or our sadness. But to be able to go towards the present moment more and more, to be able to still all the excitement, all the frenetic energy in the mind, and to channel it towards that which can support us on our journey. And some of you have been asking, but how do I let go of my fear? And how do I sustain that peaceful presence? How can I love every moment the same? We have to be that way. We have to be resilient with all the impacts and insults of life. But your generosity allowed them to come in a large group into the middle of this sacred space that we're creating with our silence and our courageous attention to whatever is coming up for us. And they came in with all their beautiful offerings. And you created for them a stillness. You were the witness. You have not known Tara personally. Each of us has known our own grief, so we know what it is to grieve. We know what it is to lose someone that we love. And they chanted and took the precepts, made their offerings, and they left. And it's still again. And again we are with the interior quiet. And you've worked very hard tidying up and bringing everything back to order. But the practice is always the same. The guests come and go. The house fills and empties. Visitors arrive and leave. The monastery is full one moment and empty again another. And so it is with the tides in the sea. And so it is with the seasons, with the rain, with the day and the night, everything working in cycles. Even coming to the retreat with all our ideas and perceptions of what it's going to feel like and how will it be, our expectations, or our worries, or our anticipation. And then it's like this. And all those thoughts that we had 5 days ago now, more than halfway, through the retreat. Where are they? What were they? Just a flurry, a flutter, a frenzy, a great wind. We don't even remember what it was. Gone. See how we empower them. See how we give them the opportunity to tyrannize us for a moment, a few moments, an afternoon, a day, a few days, a month, a year, years, a whole lifetime. We sit here and we learn, who is our tyrant? What do we empower? Which voices do we empower within us to make us cower and run? Or enable us to go forward and stand straight and sit still? The same is true in our daily lives. Just as we allow the opinions of other people to push us around and make us feel this way or that way, someone else's mood, someone else's look, someone else's reaction to us can be very upsetting, can drive us this way or that. How much do we empower those external voices? And how much do they then take root inside our own hearts and move us from within, even when those people are long gone? There's tapes going on forever and ever. But the guests have left. The monastery is empty. There is no noise on the outside. It's only like an echo, a residue. And so then it's really up to us. This is where kamma comes in. Kamma or karma is the way that we listen to the present moment recreates either an old habit, an old set of conditions that can continue to tyrannize us, or some new liberating energy that can free us and that can change the course of our spiritual momentum, of our development. And just noticing this is really, it's very, very liberating, because then instead of empowering those tyrants, be they real or imaginary, we can empower the present moment. We can listen to the silence and let that strengthen us. Because in the silence, everything disappears. Just see the way you give yourself to the moment. Remember to bow to it, rather than trying to bend it, shape it, mold it. What are we asking from the present moment? What are we demanding from it? To praise is to praise, wrote Rumi. To praise is to praise how one surrenders to the emptiness. To praise the sun is to praise your own eyes. Praise the ocean. So the sea journey goes on, and who knows where? Just to be held by the ocean is the best luck we could have. It's a total waking up. Why should we grieve that we've been sleeping? It doesn't matter how long we've been unconscious. Isn't it wonderful? It doesn't matter. We're groggy, but let the guilt go. Feel the motion of tenderness around you, the buoyancy. And in the same vein, T.S. Eliot wrote, I said to my soul, be still and wait without hope. For hope would be hope of the wrong thing. Wait without love, for love would be love of the wrong thing. There is yet faith, but the faith and the love and the hope are all in the waiting. Wait without thought, for you are not ready for thought. So the darkness shall be the light, and the stillness shall be the dancing. So it's the Monster Mash all over again. Whatever it is that is arising in there, dance with it. It doesn't mean that you love it. It's not an artificial kind of, all right, I'm going to make friends with you, but you hate it. It's just an awareness that it's all empty. There's no one in there. And these things are illusions, they're fantasies. Try to remember what it is on Friday night that you were feeling. Very difficult to even grasp it. And it was probably very important. Not to belittle our emotions, not to make light of the grief that we feel, but without really feeling it fully, tasting it, and giving it all the space that it needs in the silence of the moment, rather than clinging to it as if it were ours. We can never go through it. Allowing ourselves to feel it authentically can strengthen us, indeed. But then to recognize that the energy of grief is the very energy of enlightenment. I was giving the analogy to someone today of a bee that buzzes outside of a flower. It knows the nectar is in the flower. It doesn't get the nectar by looking at the flower. It goes right into it and sips. In that way, we have to go right into the present moment and sip the beauty of it and fill our minds with it. This way you enter the breath. Enter it, taste it. You might feel like running away. No, you come back and sit some more. Patient endurance. It's not gritting the teeth, it's just knowing that if we run away, we will always run away. This is where the reflection on karma is very, very important. If we practice running away, we're always going to be tyrannized by our fears and our anger and our sorrow, by the wanting mind. Notice that the very things that we want never make us happy. And the things that we don't want, that we run away from, they are not what make us sad. What makes us sad is the action of running. And of believing that the safety is somewhere else. Somewhere far away, somewhere outside of us. When the safety is right there, the stillness is right there, in the middle of the flames, in the middle of the grief, in the middle of whatever is arising, the storm, like a hurricane, in the middle of the hurricane, stillness. That's why it's so important to be in the moment, examine it, rest in it. The moment gets full of memories, it gets full of thoughts, it becomes agitated, you get bored, you think, I've had enough. And you keep sitting. That's how it is in the monastery. That's how it is in daily life. That's how it is to be a human being. Doesn't matter where we go. We can't run away from what we have to feel. So be like the bee. Go deeply into the flower and see that the nectar is right there waiting to be sipped. It's something you sip moment by moment. You can't sip tomorrow, today. You have to wait. Wait without hope. So again, if you're too excited, you can't know the breath as it is. If you're too scared, you can't know the breath as it is. Just by being willing to be with it, as it comes to you. Sometimes a raging storm. Sometimes a ferocious beast. We know it's impermanent. And this is not something that you paste over the present moment with a concept. It's something we actually experience in tasting the moment as it is, in sipping it. In realizing its own impermanence. It comes towards us a certain way and eventually it disappears. Be generous with the present moment in the same way that you've been generous with the family of Tara today. Prepare a still space. Clear away all the rubbish. Set out the mats. Sit comfortably and wait. Let the guests of your mind come and go. Prepare a sumptuous feast and offer it. The feast of the present moment. And they will leave. And we continue to sit. And we wave them goodbye. With gladness, not because they're leaving, but because they have been our guests. And we have been generous to welcome them. And this is a way we can investigate the difference. What is the difference between welcoming our guests and saying, I'm busy? Can't welcome you now. the shrunken heart, the contracted heart that is full of fear or preoccupied with its own misery, the critical mind, the negative mind, the dark mind, is unable to receive the offerings of the present moment. In that same way, if we were too busy to receive these lovely people, we wouldn't be able to share their grief. We would never receive their beautiful offerings. We would never be able to bear witness to their courage, to their sense of community, to their strength as a Sangha, drawing together in a time of crisis. It's very inspiring to observe that. And yeah, it's an intrusion, you could look at it that way. But by having a mind that is open and welcoming and patient and hardworking and generous and committed, like just stick it out, okay, you have to put out some extra effort. They come and they go and they feel gladdened by having shared in this beautiful space. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival. This is from Rumi. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Be grateful for whoever comes.